You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Yes, sir. I forgot nearly that we were here on Thursday night instead of Saturday. We don't do too much different, but there's a few things we do a little different on Saturday. But here's a song that's requested, and I think it must be the favorite song of one of our very important people here at the Rec Room. So we're doing Peace in the Valley. Well, I'm tired and I'm so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away.
Day's coming.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Can't hardly wait.
Tonight, we're just going to talk about some basic questions. We'll turn to some references in the Bible, and if you'd like to follow along with us on those, if you'd like to have a Bible and don't have one with you, if you lift your hand, we'll bring you one. Anybody like to have one? Okay, we got some hands up. Just hold them up, you go. Now then, let me say this about those Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, and by that, let's say you're from Angelo, Abilene, Amarillo, and you don't have one here. You need one here. You shouldn't have left home without it. But if you did, why don't you just keep that one, and that'll be our gift to you. You just get that from the rec room, and then take time to read it every day. And we'll start right in the very first book, Genesis. We'll start right in the very first chapter, dealing with some basic questions that every one of us at some time or another ask ourselves. I've just kind of summed them up in three basic questions. First one is, where'd I come from? Second, why am I here? And the third one is, where am I going? And at some time in life, we all ask ourselves, is there any purpose in life? What is this? What's going on? What we believe about where we come from affects how we live today. Much of science, not all of it, but much of science, much of our schooling tells us that we originated from primeval slime that then became a monkey, and then that became a man. The youth director of our church, the way he comments on that, he said, from goo to zoo to you. But we've got all kind of concoctions on where man came from. Let me just tell you what the Bible says real quick in the book of Genesis, first chapter, and in verse 26, it says this, and God said, let us, notice the us. So who's the us? That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All been here all the time, will be here all the time. Said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created. Now, the reason that that's not all that far-fetched to believe is simply this. Everything you look at that's been made has got a maker. You ever think about that? It doesn't make any difference whether it's the clock on the wall, whether it's the TV screen, or whether it's something as simple as that styrofoam cup that you drink your drink out of. If I told you that just happened, that we were sitting back there in the kitchen and a case of those just popped up, you said, poor old fat guy. Boy, said he has lost it. See, you wouldn't buy that for a minute. But we sit under professors that go into all kind of details with big words that come up with the same kind of crap. See, God said we're going to make man. Everything has got a maker. Now, let me tell you why we don't want a maker. If there's a maker, then we're responsible to somebody. And we really don't want to do that. So, now then, what happened when God created man in his own image? He gave him one commandment. We, this week in some of our classes, we've studied about this. He didn't give him 10 commandments to start with. He said, in this beautiful garden, he said that today, said, don't eat. Of every tree in here, you can eat. You can just eat and eat and eat. And man was in a perfect situation. He would have never gotten fat because he could just eat and eat. But he said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, it didn't take a GED to understand that. Can't eat of that tree. Guess what? Man ate of the tree. Just got one simple thing to do. And man failed. Ate of the tree. And because of that, he was banished from that garden. There were things that the man must suffer. There are things that the woman must suffer. Because they both participated in this disobedience to what God said. The amazing thing about that is that they got in trouble by faith. Now, we think that's always religious work. But God said, don't eat of the tree, and Satan said, eat of the tree, and they believed Satan instead of God. And a bunch of us have done that many, many times. Because he said, you won't get caught. He said, you can get by with it. He said, you're smarter than they are. And all of us have paid some debt and carry some scars, for we believe Satan instead of what God said. He's always positive. He never comes up and said, man, that'll kill you. He never does. God's the one that tells us that. God's the one that warns us. Said, well, some people say, well, I'm don't try to scare me. I'm not scared. Let me tell you what I've learned. That being an old West Texas boy, people are scared of rattlesnakes, seldom get bit by them. It's those folks that think they ain't having rattlesnakes that have got some fang scars on them. And I never had to worry about that. They used to try to teach me how to tell a poisonous snake from a non-poisonous snake. When I was in school, they did. I don't know if they do that or not. I can tell you now, it's a worthless subject. Because when I saw a snake, my feet took over. I did not stand around there and think, let's see, he's supposed to have these kind of stripes and that kind of stripe, this type of thing. While I was doing that, I was down the road, just gone. See, snakes are snakes. They're all poisonous as far as I'm concerned. God banished them out of the garden. They can never come back in the garden. And here's what I want you to see in chapter 5, because we still have folks going around saying, I'm made in God's image. Let me read this to you. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. We've just read about that. He says again, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, not God's likeness, in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. You and I are in the image of Adam. We're not in the image of God. We carry with us what poisoned Adam. We have that sin nature. We come into this world. Brother Doug's got a brand new baby here. And I'll tell you what, how old is she now?
4 weeks today.
4 weeks today. I can tell you who runs that household right now.
Right.
And he will never have to send her to lying school. He'll never have to teach her to say mine. If you want to know, I ask the question sometimes in some of our classes, when does these problems start? Put two two-year-olds in the same room with one toy and see how they share. This is that's an Adam nature. We are in Adam's nature. That's why he was the man's image changed from God's image to Adam's image. And the Bible says, for as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There was no death until Adam sinned. There was no sorrow. There was no pain. There was no crying. There was no suffering. There was no hurt. There was no want. Adam had everything he wanted. But then he sinned and death came by one man. And that record has not changed. Every birth has a death. Okay. Now, so where did I come from? Second, why am I here? Why am I here? Sometime we've looked at life and it can get real frustrating. It can get real heartbreaking. You can sometime just wring your hands and say, I hate this place. Nothing goes right. Why am I here? What's life all about? Is there any purpose? Is that the way you feel sometimes? Where am I going? You know, God gave Israel a law. He gave them the Ten Commandments. But you know what He did to everybody but Israel? Gave us conscience. I want you to look in Romans chapter 2 with me, over in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and in Romans. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it said, let's start with verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, we didn't have the Ten Commandments, you and I are Gentile, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. We all have a conscience. That's why when we start out, we may not have known a lot of things, but when Daddy and Mama told us to do some things and we didn't do it, we learned to lie right quick. We learned to hide. It's amazing. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ran and hid. Instead of running to God and say, hey, we got a problem. Lord, we need some help. They hid from God. God came looking for them. We've been doing that ever since. That's why we do our sins at night. We go to the dark. The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We do things behind people's back. Nobody in here has ever walked up to a cop on the corner and said, hey, you want to share a joint? We know better. We know right and wrong. Because God built in us a radar that tells us. That's why we hide. That's why we lie. That's why we skirt the issue. We know what we should do. It's not, well, I didn't know that was wrong. Well, didn't you? God gave us a conscience. Gave everybody one. It all began with Adam. What are we? Why am I here? What is life all about? Is this it? Am I just going to live and die and be roadkill? Is this all there is? Turn with me, just go to the right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is that great resurrection chapter. Fantastic chapter about resurrection. Resurrection of people. Not just resurrection of Christ. But in verse 32, Paul says this, if after the manner of men I have fought the beast of Ephesus. Paul had been in all kind of trouble. If you read about his life as a Christian, now let me tell you, when he was a lost man on his way to hell, he had it made. He lived good. He was a Pharisee. That means he was a doctor of theology. And he had it made. When he became a Christian, things went downhill on him in a hurry. And they beat him. They left him to die. They tried to drown him. They imprisoned him. He had all kind of problems. And he said, here, if after the manner of men I fought with the beast at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's not a resurrection, if there's not a judgment, if there's not a time, life after death, then hey, let's forget it, eat, drink, and be merry, because we're just going to die. But we know better, don't we? Inside, in that conscience, tells every one of us that this is not all of it. Tells us there's a judgment. Tells us we're going to have to give an account for some things in our lives. We know that. It's innate in man. God put that in man so that man could not say, hey, I didn't know. You realize that for a man to become the atheist that he's got to study and study and study. You don't see any dumb atheists. They all got master's degrees or more. They have to work at getting rid of God in their life. The average guy knows there's God because God built that in him. He knows that. You go into some country that does not have a Bible. You go into some village that doesn't have a Bible. You see some tribe somewhere that's never seen the Bible. And you know what? They got rules of all things. They got certain rules, and if you break those rules, you get punished. It doesn't make any. They do that in prison. Don't snitch. We got rules. Right? And rules are to be obeyed, and if they're not, there's a certain type of punishment. It doesn't make any difference where we are. We can be with the wildest, craziest bunch of folks you've ever seen, and there's rules. And there's problems for breaking those rules. There is no such place that's just got total anarchy that you can do everything you want to do, as long as you're big enough to do it. But my daddy used to tell me, this was honest truth. He said, son, it don't make a difference how tough you get somebody smaller than you and whip you. He was right. Hey. Always rules. Always consequences for breaking those rules. The resurrection brings everything back in focus. Paul said, if the dead do not rise, that one day in the future, all of the dead is going to stand before God. If they don't rise, then, man, we're wasting our time. I shouldn't have been in all of this trouble. I shouldn't have been trying to take a stand for anything. He said, I just should eat and drink, for tomorrow I'm going to die. I'm going to be roadkill. Doesn't make any difference. But there's because Christ died and rose again, we will be in the resurrection. There's resurrection of the lost. There's a resurrection of the saved. But there's a resurrection. Where are we going? Are you like a pinball that's shot out in life, and we got some bells and whistles and bright lights go off, and we go here and we're flipped over there, and maybe some of you had a life with a lot of experiences, and maybe some of you had a dull life, but you know what happens to that pinball eventually? Falls in a hole at the bottom of the table, doesn't it? You know what happens to every man and woman eventually? The nicest yard in this town is called a graveyard. It's mowed the best, it's manicured the best, it's the prettiest place in town. As far as yards are, is there life after death? Is there judgment? If there is, what do I need to do? And if you know any verse in the Bible, you know this one. But you may want to turn, because I want you to look at two more verses. It's in John chapter 3. That for God so loved the world. We used to see that at ball games on television. They made them quit putting it out there. We got mad at the Bible. But notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Did you notice that? Nobody is condemned for smoking pot. Nobody's condemned for committing adultery. Nobody's condemned for stealing. Nobody's condemned for cheating. Nobody's condemned for blaspheming God. Nobody's condemned for all of these laws we might break. Nobody's condemned for what he does. Listen to it. He that believeth not is condemned already, not at the resurrection, not at the judgment day, not tomorrow. Is present tense, right now, condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's as simple as not eating of that tree. I can do that. A lot of things I can't do. A lot of things I'm just too weak to do. I tried to stop a lot of bad practices in my life. I tried to straighten up lots of times. But when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, then he helped me win some of those other battles. I couldn't do it alone. Never could. I want you to bow your heads a moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think carefully with me. Where to come from? What am I here for? Where am I going? And tonight, if the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart, he said to you, I'm talking to you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, you know God's spoken to your heart. Tonight, you also know that you're condemned. You've never trusted Christ. Oh, you tried to quit drinking. You tried to stop drugs. You tried to straighten up. I'm talking about putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you've never done that. Tonight, would you? The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Would you? Or you're sitting right where you are. Just simply raise your hand and say, Leland, I want to trust Christ tonight. I want to get it settled tonight. Would you do it? Right now. Is there one? I want to settle it tonight. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. We're not talking about being a Baptist. We're not talking about being a Catholic. We're not talking about being religious. We're talking about trusting Jesus Christ tonight. Are you listening to it? Maybe you're here in somewhere, maybe in a prison cell, jail cell, incarceration, or an emergency room, or wherever. You trusted Jesus Christ one time. You asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Since then, you've left him. Let me tell you something. He's never left you. He kept his promise. He's still with you. But you need to come back. I want us to stand their feet, head bowed, eyes still closed as we stand. Charles is going to sing verse this old song, Just As I Am, without one plea. If you need to be saved, I want you to come. If you need to come back and say, I need to rededicate my life. I need to start over. I've blown it. Would you come right now? Come on. He's going to sing one more verse. And I know this is just jokes to some of you. But I wish you had courage enough and guts enough to respect the folks around you not to talk. Somebody may want to go to heaven tonight. Brother Doug. God bless you, son. Someone else. No one come. We'll be free. Anyone else? You need to come. Still bowed and eyes still closed. Some are still praying. As you leave, out on the table, there's a little manual called What Have I Done and What Must I Do Now? It has to do with salvation and then what's expected of a Christian. They're free. I want you to take one. If you came tonight, I want you to take one. If you have been saved and maybe never just sat down and looked at the verses, this will let you do it in the privacy of your own home. Or you, without emotion or anything else, can sit and see exactly what you've done, what God wants you to do, what's in the future for you. Please get that. It's yours. Thank you for being here. Our bar is open. Now, our Father, we thank you for those that have come tonight. Thank you for the decisions that's been made. What we do know, Lord, is that whether anybody came didn't have anything to do with decision, because everybody makes decisions. Some decided to talk. Some decided to bother somebody else. But some listened to you. Thank you for that. Bless those that came. Be with them this week. And Father, those that we pray you'd give those that didn't make the right decision another opportunity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73101. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.